please, and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Now, we have been studying the Holy Spirit, and it's called the Spirit-filled life. Galatians 5:16 says, if we'll walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And that is the chain-breaking, addiction-breaking, habit-breaking Bible verse that you need to memorize. The other one is in John, I have to look it up, I just forgot it, John 8. It says, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We looked at who the Holy Spirit is. The first week, we looked at His saving ministry. And last week, we looked at His sanctifying ministry, how He sets us apart. And tonight, I want to look at His strengthening ministry. He strengthens us. Take your Bibles, look at Isaiah 40. And verse 29, as I was waiting for people to arrive tonight, I had the blessed opportunity to just take a pen and a few minutes and just go back over this verse in my Bible. I do a lot on the computer, but I really love taking my Bible and a pen and just underlining like the verbs and the nouns and tying it together slowly. So when you start in verse number 28, the Bible says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the, and now listen, he uses multiple words for himself here on purpose. And tonight I'm not going to get into the exact meanings of everything, but it says that the creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no limit to his power. There is no limit to his ability. There is no limit to his knowledge. There is no limit to his love. There is no limit to his holiness. He just is. Neither is weary. Man, I'll tell you what, that's the word we're going to look at tonight. There is no searching his understanding. There's no bottom to his knowledge and wisdom. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. When there just seems like there's no way, he does it. And I love it because he does it so he shows himself strong. Now, we'll get into that another time. Even the youth shall faint. If it just doesn't seem possible. I remember being in my early 20s, and I could work all day and stay up all night and do it all again tomorrow. And that just isn't the way. And when it says, even though the youth, who seems invincible, they even faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But in contrast, they that wait upon the Lord. I'm going to talk about that word in a minute. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall, when they don't have any, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. It's talking about people. That word wait. All right, I'm going to give you a spoiler. The word wait, I can't hold it any longer. I looked it up in the Hebrew, and you know me, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but it doesn't mean what you think it means. That word was specifically used. It's one of the few, it's only like six times that word is used in the Hebrew right there, and it means to bind together with patience, almost like a twisting together. When you're working with electricity and you take those electrical wires and you put the white with the white and the black with the black, and you twist them together and they become bound. You can't, once you try it, you can untwist them, but they're basically unusable. You cut them off, right? But the way you cut them off, start over. It's just so much easier. But the word wait means to bind with patience like a twisting together. So look at that again. Whenever I study the Bible, I'll put parentheses around a word and I'll put the definition in place of it. But they that bind their soul to the Lord, in a way that can't be taken apart, they that bind themselves upon the Lord with patience shall renew their strength. Have you ever run out of gas? You know what I'm talking about. That old brown truck of ours, I love it. I think it's just irony in motion. It just keeps moving. I love it. But it's funny. It was the first car Ms. Mixon and I ever owned that actually said, so many miles to empty, right? So many miles to empty. And I've driven that thing down to the nubs before. You know, I've actually driven it down till the light comes on. But what we found with age is that once it gets down to about an eighth of a tank, once you shut it off, it won't turn back on again until you throw up a couple of gallons in it. You know what I'm saying? It's got that spot where it is, you know it's got some in there, but it's depleted. You know, the old gray expedition used to be that way. If you parked it nose up, it'll start when it's on fumes. But you park it nose down half full, it won't start. It's just the way that thing is. And I've run out of gas before. It's one thing to run out of gas on a trip. When the wife goes, hey, you going to go get some gas? Oh, don't worry, we're fine. It says we got 40 miles to empty. Not once you stop and shut it off. It won't start. It's another thing to run out of gas in life. In Isaiah 40, it says weary. It says neither is weary. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Do you know what weary means? It means that your entire strength is depleted, either through toil or exertion. You're tired. You're fatigued. You can be spiritually weary, emotionally weary, and physically weary. It means to be depleted. Weariness profoundly impacts our life in a negative way because weariness can lead us to do bad decisions. It's when we're tired. In Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the guys that goes to that tells me there's four triggers: hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And they've recognized that we all make bad decisions. Vince Lombardi says that weariness makes us cowards. Why? Because we'll make bad decisions when we're fatigued. Many times I've reached a state of weariness where I've expended all of my strength, whether it's through trials or burdens that can cause weariness. Maybe it's a hectic schedule, or maybe it's an endless set of expectations, or it's sin. Living in sin and not walking with God can bring weariness to a person. You know, and a lot of times during this state of weariness, we'll misdiagnose it. We'll misunderstand it, and it does affect our attitude. It affects the way we look at life, and it can lead you to believe that you need to make some radical change to feel happy. Weariness can cause us to question a lot of our foundational beliefs. If you've ever saw somebody do what I call a faith reversal, they've served the Lord, and they're serving God, and maybe they're in full-time ministry, and all of a sudden they do an about-face. Why? You know, we like to think maybe they're lost, but you know, what might be true is the fact that they're just depleted. They're just completely wore out. They're in a bad spot. They're not looking at the world the way they should. They're making decisions they shouldn't be making. That's what leads to infidelity, family abuse, financial ruin, spiritual reversal, as I said. It's all bad decisions. Why? Because they're operating in a condition of weariness or depletion. And that's when you're most likely to be agitated with your kids, frustrated with your spouse, the least patient person in the room with the circumstances that go around you, and the least spirit-led. Now, I admit, a good night's sleep can help. That's true. But that only addresses the physical depletion. That will not fix the spiritual depletion or emotional. That will take restoration and revival of the soul and spirit. It will require a strengthening of heart, a refreshing, if you will. Brother Mike uses the phrase, the power wash for the soul, for the men's prayer advance. And that's why we go. Because we all run at a breakneck speed. We all have deadlines to meet and quotas to beat. I know that sounds like a cliche, but I was in sales, and that is how it was. You're only as good as yesterday. And if you're a contractor and you didn't bill yesterday, you're worthless. And you know what it means, and you've got people to please, and you've got to make the grade or it doesn't happen, and what are we going to do? And you get depleted. So it requires that restoration, refreshing. And weariness can destroy you. It doesn't matter how you feel today. It really doesn't. Things are going to come up, and you'll lose a sense of motivation. You'll stop relying on the Holy Spirit. It's inevitable. It happens to Christians. But to survive it, we got to understand how the Holy Spirit is the one that strengthens us. We saw last week how he sanctifies us. He sets us apart for God's purpose. And where our life is to be lived in such a way that our life is a memorial for this, of the sacrifice Christ has made for us. But now the Holy Spirit also will strengthen us. Did you know God knew that our life would require more strength than we physically possess? And that our life would be overwhelming at times. That's why he said, in this world you'll have tribulations. Be of good courage. I have overcome the world. That's why he said, and I think it's back in 1 John, greater is he that's in the world than he, or greater is he that it's in you than he that's in the world. Why? Because he knows you're human. You're going to get depleted. Life's going to go beyond your control. And to pretend to have it under control is just going to hasten the emotional and spiritual depletion. And that's, but you know why God lets these times happen to us? You know why he lets that happen? So, does that ring any bells tonight? Is it happening to you tonight? God lets this happen because we otherwise we wouldn't need him at all. We wouldn't acknowledge the fact that we need him. Are you feeling empty? Are you feeling depleted? Are you starting to question some of the things you value? You know, you're not alone. God hasn't abandoned you. And God isn't disappointed with you in the fact that he didn't see this coming. It happens to all of us. But God is allowing us this time because we need to learn to walk with the Spirit. Walk in his strength. You heard me quote it the other day, Zechariah, it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You know, when you're in the middle of this right now and you're feeling depleted, you're feeling like you've just been wrung out and there's just nothing left. Listen, don't turn your back on your faith. Don't make life-altering decisions. Okay, and don't despair. Back in Isaiah 40, it says, God will renew your strength. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that bind their soul to the Lord with patience shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You have the ability to live beyond your capacity under the strength of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what he's trying to say. Wait. Wait on him. The Holy Spirit will meet you at your lowest point. He will lift you up and set you on a solid rock. Our weariness, like I said, is not a surprise. So here it is. God is ready to sustain you. That's why he says, have you not known? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? God's got all the strength there is. We're not going to deplete God by relying on his strength and his power. Now, how does the Holy Spirit strengthen us? Number one, he guides us. Take your Bible, go to John 14. John 14. Look at it. John 14 and verse 26. The Holy Spirit will teach us and remind us the things Christ has taught us. Look at John 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He guides us. He teaches us. He'll also lead us. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. He will lead us. Romans 8, 14. I have conversations with people all the time that are trying to make decisions that really are life-altering decisions. And a lot of times it's not a choice between good and bad. It's a choice between good and good or good and gooder, you know? And which one's the will of God? Well, he says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He will lead us. I want you to think about the concept of being led. Many people are led astray by emotion and fear. Some are led astray by desires. Because listen, our heart will deceive us. Our desires will deceive us. And they don't let us see the world the way things really are. Do you ever have to have somebody help you with that from time to time? You know, I went up, Ms. Mick's not feeling well, and I kind of woke her up and I went, hey, does this match? Because it looked fine when I wasn't sure. And she's like, it'll do, you know. It's no worse than what you normally wear. But, sometimes I don't always see things like they are. But at salvation, we receive this internal leader. We can be free from aimlessness and emotional instability. He will positively affect all the areas of our life. He's that internal leader we're given. And when we allow the Spirit to lead us, we become more stable. And our lives become, I didn't know how else to say it, but truth-oriented. Does that make sense? Some people orient their life on entertainment. Some people orient their life on their own personal preferences. But when we let the Holy Spirit of God lead us, he will never lead us contrary to this book. He will never lead us contrary to what it says and what it teaches. He will never lead us contrary to the heart of God the Father. So our lives, when we are led by the Spirit of God, we become truth-oriented. We only allow the Holy Spirit to do that. Even in the darkest storms, if we are anchored to truth and being led by His presence, we don't have to worry. There's no need for anxiety because stress dissipates. Back when I was first saved, there was an elderly lady in our church in Dunlap. When I was first saved, her name was Virgie Tolley. And Virgie always sang, "I know who holds tomorrow." Do you know that song? "I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day." I'm getting it wrong, aren't I, Brother Mike? But the chorus goes, "Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." Now, I'm not much of a sailor or a pilot, but I know on every ship and on every plane, there's a navigator. There's somebody whose sole purpose in life is to know the position of that vessel or that plane, know the direction they're traveling in. He's responsible to keep the captain updated and coordinate with the other crew. They're to be in charge of watching out for hazards and keep accurate communications. You know, before salvation, we kind of traveled through life without a navigator, kind of blind and hopeless. But at salvation, the Holy Spirit of God became our navigator. He's the one who knows where we're going, or at least we're supposed to be going. He knows where we are, right? And he's the one who stays in contact with the captain. He knows your current position. He's aware of the hazard. Wherever you are today, whatever circumstances you're in, we're to listen to the voice of the navigator. He'll guide us safely home. He's the one that guides us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's part of his strengthening ministry. He doesn't leave us to just drift. Number two, he assures us. I mean, everyone has a certain amount of insecurity in life. I mean, we all want to be unconditionally loved. We want to be fully accepted, right? That's what we want, that feeling. And we know we don't measure up. We don't always like what we see when we look in the mirror. So we'll crave that in our heart. It's that sense of security that we know we're somebody because of who loves us. And you know, it's easy to love somebody when they're good. We have a little basset hound. She's still just 9 months old, so that makes her like five in people years, okay? So she's like a mischievous five-year-old, okay? And when she's asleep, she's adorable. When she's tired, she's just adorable until she's not. And it's easy to love her when she's good. I'm not kidding. In the last 3 months, that dog has chewed up 3 or 4 pairs of Ms. Mix's shoes. She'll go find a treasure at the secondhand shop, and they're gorgeous. He's got these little heels there, these black, but they got cork heels on them. And that dog will get them, and she'll run away. And we'll think, okay, well, she's got a bone, and she's leaving us alone, and we can just kind of relax and talk. I've learned when I don't see the dog, she's up to something. Right? She's easy to love when she's good. Did you know the Holy Spirit assures you where you stand with God? He assures you of your standing with God. You don't have to wonder. Take your Bible, go to Romans 8 and verse 15 and 16. It says, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The spirit, that word Abba, is the first syllable the little Middle Eastern children learn. Instead of going daddy, daddy, they go dad, dad, they go Abba. That's dad. The Spirit allows us to cry out to God and say, "Daddy, you're His precious child." I don't know if you realize that or not. You may not like what you see, but God looks at you with favor. Do you know what favor really is? Let me give you an emotional picture. Got a new baby back there in the, yeah, little rascal named Isaac, little Isaac LaRoche. He likes to toddle around. Did I get his name right? It's Isaac, isn't he? He likes to toddle around, a little blonde-haired kid. So he walks over and he goes like this. To me, of all people, I usually, it's little girls that don't got a use for me, but the little boy, he's like, oh, he'll talk boy stuff to me. He'll just walk up, he goes like this. You know how that feeling wells up in your heart when a baby does that? That feeling is called favor. You just experienced physically favor. That's how God sees you, and it is the Holy Spirit of God who assures you of that. Many Christians struggle with the idea and concept that God actually likes them. I mean, we all know that God loves us. Like we love our children, but we don't always like our children. Isn't that true? Can I get an amen? Oh, only my kids. Okay, well, I remember raising a child I didn't like. I loved him, but I didn't like him. And the truth is, we all think to ourselves, well, God loves us. Sure, God loves us. But did you know that God actually likes you? God likes you. He likes you. The Holy Spirit resides in you to provide you that steady, calm assurance that you're held in his hand. You're right here, close to him. Take your Bible, go to John 10. John 10 and verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That means you can't even pluck yourself out of God's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man, including yourself, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know what's crazy is God has you right here. So any voice that tells you otherwise did not come from God. By process of elimination, those voices, and especially teenagers are especially susceptible to this. They look in the mirror, they don't like what they see because the idiots at school said they don't like what they see. The fools who couldn't find, they don't know what reality is. They're too busy tearing you down to make themselves feel good. That's how foolish they are. So all they got to do is pick on you. Well, you go and you look in the mirror and you listen to that foolishness. Let me tell you something, that isn't what God said. God said, I look at you with favor and acceptance, and you're special, and I even like you. You're not just my child. I think of when the boys were little and we'd teach them to walk. And I'd just say, it's okay, don't worry. It's okay, I got you. I'd hold their little hands, and I'd say, I got you. Or they'd jump off something, I'd go, I got you, come here, I got you. And I'd take them off the bunk bed or off the tree swing, and I'd say, it's okay, Daddy's got you. Don't worry. It's not just a great promise, it's a great reality. And it's only by the Holy Spirit of God that we are assured of this. Because the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. So he not only guides us, he assures us, but he also comforts us. Now, we know this word. We've heard this before. We've heard Jesus call the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Now, can you imagine what it was like when the apostles, now these guys have been walking with Jesus for 3 years, right? They've been seeing him heal people. He's feeding people with next to nothing. And he's casting out demons. He's raised up some dead people. And things are just going great. Every place he goes, he draws a crowd. And they can just see God's revolution happening. And Jesus goes, listen, I'm going to go away for a while. What? Whoa, time out. Wait a minute. What do you mean you're going to go away? That's what Jesus said to him in John 14. Take your Bible, go there. John 14 and verse 16. Look what it says. John 14 and verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look at John 16 and verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Our whole life has been put on hold so we can walk with you, and now you're leaving? But the Comforter means that intercessor, that consoler, that advocate, the Holy Spirit in you, for you, and on your side. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is God in you, for you, and on your side. That's what that means. God knew life would be hard. And the Christian, look, being a Christian and getting saved doesn't remove the hardships of life. It only assures you that you're going to survive it. Think about that. Have you ever wrecked your car? Yeah, anybody have a car wreck? I've had a car wreck. Brother Jim had one who flipped it, didn't you? Did you flip yours? I came close. I was going to see Ms. Mix. She was Miss Scott at the time. And we were dating, and we were still in that puppy love age, right? Time, right? So I am late getting off work, and we didn't have cell phones, okay? We still had the phone with the 10-foot cord that became a 20-foot cord. You know what I'm talking about? And you go all the way up to the top of the stairs and hide and talk to her and just listen to her breathe. And so anyway, I got off work late. It's not like I could call her. I don't have a cell phone. And I am in my 86 Buick Regal. And I am barreling down a country road trying to get to Toluca, Illinois, because that's where she's at. She's at her friend Jamie's house. We're going to go out to eat. We're going to have a good time. And I am just cruising down a country road. Now, it's blacktop, so I think I'm okay. And I get my front wheel right on the edge of that gravel. You've been down a country road, you know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, I am lickety-split out into the cow pasture. And I hit, and I bounce, and I bounce, and I have these huge speakers. I know these are all back in the 80s. Nobody has them today. I had these huge plastic speakers in the back window that hit me in the back of the head. And I landed up to my waist deep with the car in a creek. You know, it seemed like time stopped for just a second at that moment when you go, I've lost control. Well, this will be interesting. You know, I would have enjoyed it better had I known I was going to live through it. Right? You've all had those moments in your life when things went out of control and it wasn't enjoyable because you just weren't sure. I remember we used to have fun. Back before there was video games, there was only three TV channels. We used to take cinder blocks and set up these long boards and jump with our bikes like Evel Knievel. Who's done the Evel Knievel? Come on now. That is good. That is good things for your kids to try out. So I come barreling down the hill of the dump. We used to play at the dump, okay? And that's where the cinder blocks are. Makes all sense in the world to you, doesn't it, brother? That's right. I love the dump. So you go down that hill, and I had this new bike, and I'm just barreling along, and my hands and feet come off by accident. And I'm just sitting on this bike in midair. And I think to myself, help me! It was the agony of defeat. You ever seen that on worldwide sports, that the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat? You know, I'd have enjoyed it better if I'd have known I was going to live through it. And the thing is, guys, when we get to heaven, we're going to have stories to tell. Right now, people like to tell stories. We like to tell fishing stories or golfing stories or hunting stories or whatever. We like to tell stories. And I think we're all going to have stories when we get to heaven. And many of them are going to be about the hard times and the hardships and how God brought us through faithfully every single time. It's just right now, we lose sight of the fact that we're not sure if we're going to live through it. If you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you're going to survive it because the Comforter gives us hope. Most of us want to avoid the hard times. The lost folks do, for sure. They're hopeless and they're overwhelmed by the experience. But saved folks, we know it's only going to be a short time. And Christians have sorrow, but we have it with hope. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, it says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. John 14:27, it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because the Comforter will find refuge for us from fear and turmoil. The Holy Spirit consoles us with hope and grace. And often, no human intimacy can replace that. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. Now, some sincerely try, but remember Job? Job says, you're all miserable comforters. Thank God he wasn't trying to get through his trouble with his friends. In Psalm 69:20, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. People cannot fulfill the void in our heart. Pills cannot fill the void in our heart. Alcohol can't fill the void in our heart. Illicit sexual relationships cannot fill the void in our heart. A new outfit, a new car, they can't do it. All they do is take the raw sting away from the emptiness of a life without God. When we live our life without God, it's just hurt. So the Holy Spirit releases us from that. He provides us true comfort. Now, the other thing the Holy Spirit does to strengthen us is He intercedes for us. Have you ever been in such a depth of despair you couldn't muster the mental clarity to actually think? I mean, some trials are so mentally and emotionally taxing, you're overwhelmed. You're just in this dense fog. Some people call it a funk. And in a time like that, you really don't see things clearly, much less know how to ask God for it. You're prayerful, but you're speechless. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Holy Spirit is our intercessor. He intervenes with the Heavenly Father on our behalf. He knows the heart of the Father and what the Father is thinking of us, and He knows our heart and the things that we should be saying. So it's as if He bears us up in front of the Father and with the intensity that the Bible can only describe as groanings. The Holy Spirit within our heart cries out. He assists us. He comforts us. He intercedes on our behalf. And lastly, the Holy Spirit gives us patience and hope. You know, when life gets hard, you know, what is our usual prayer? "God, can't you take this away? Can't you stop this? God, let me out of this. What is it you want me to learn, and let me get this over with? Can I have the crib notes? Can I just kind of, what do you call it when you take the test and don't have to take the class? You clep out of it. Can I clep out of this one? Can I please? Can I just take the final and get the grade? Because I'm done." But you know, the Holy Spirit takes us beyond our normal capacity so that we can live life with a different lens. And that's where patience and hope comes in. God wants us to abound in hope. In Romans 15, 13, "And the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." God navigates these tribulations by the Holy Spirit. See, patience is supernatural strength imparted to us during trials, but hope is that supernatural perspective you have. And that's given to us by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the goodness of God. That's hope. Man's nature can't conjure these things. The power of positive thinking can't conjure these things. Only the Holy Spirit empowers us to give us patience and hope. And faith cannot be developed in comfortable surroundings. It just can't. So for the lost world, the trials they go through out there, lost folks, it seems like fate. It just seems like pointless. This is meaningless. Why is this happening to me? To save folks, to us that are Christians, every trial has an eternal implication with a hopeful outcome. Because He renews our strength. That's what it said there in Isaiah 40. He renews our strength. I'm not much of a runner, as you can tell, but I'm told by runners that they get, after a while, they get weary, and then they get what's called a second wind. Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you're like me, where you've had to pull all-nighters. You've done all-dayers with an all-nighter afterward, because the project's got to be done, and it's got to work by 8 o'clock in the morning. And somewhere around 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you gotta get your second wind. I can't explain it. This physiologically, the doctors tell us it's psychological and physiological. The two come together. That second wind will allow an athlete to perform at capacity, at full capacity. Well, the Holy Spirit of God is our second wind. He provides that strength to endure. Listen, the Christian life's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you're gonna get weary. But the Holy Spirit was willing. If we'll be led by Him, if we'll rely on Him, He will come down alongside of us and breathe into that second wind. Look what Ephesians 3 and verse 16 says. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit of God comes alongside you and breathes into you that second wind so that you can operate at full capacity under his power. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. One day at a time, one leg of the journey at a time, the Holy Spirit renews our strength. That's why it said in Isaiah 40, it says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. How can you and I live beyond our capacity? Because that's where God wants us. God doesn't want us at the limit of our physical ability. He doesn't care about our physical ability. He wants us living out past our physical ability into God capacity. So the Holy Spirit empowers us by renewing our strength. The Holy Spirit will do it again today and tomorrow and the next day. He provides each day the strength. Now, I don't have one with me. I'm sorry. I was going to use one as an object lesson. I like those little energy shots. You like those little energy shots? I like the little energy shots. I'll be honest with you. I'll joke as I get by with a little help from my friend. Because I get tired. I get weary. And I like those little things. I don't like the sodas. Right? I don't. They crash me later. Boy, I'll take one of those monsters and I get to going, man. But then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm just out. But those little energy shots, man, they kind of brighten my day. And I really like them. But, you know, I can't imagine what that does to your body long term. You know, it's not that we need a pharmaceutical enhancement. The truth is we need a spiritual enhancement by the Holy Spirit. He will renew our strength. He is the secret source of our strength. So he'll lead us and guide us. He'll assure us of our standing with God. He will comfort and console us. He intercedes for us. He provides patience. He provides hope. But he also renews our strength with like a second wind. Are you relying on the Holy Spirit today? Are you in that dark place? I can tell you, if you are, you're not seeing the world the way it truly is. Are you acknowledging his presence? Have you muted the Holy Spirit? Have you kind of take the clicker of your life and muted his voice? God wants you to live in his capacity. Now, he's not going to force you to take his strength. He's not going to force you to take the renewal and the reviving and the refreshing upon you. But if you'll talk to him, if you'll share your burdens with him, ask him to renew your strength. Ask him for the supernatural endurance that only he can give. And you'll be like the psalmist that said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and God is my portion forever. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. They that wait upon the Lord, they that bind their soul with patience with God's soul, that binds ourselves to God, he'll renew us. He'll give us strength. He'll guide us and lead us. That's his ministry. Our Father and our God, we love you. And tonight, Father, in the quietness of the moment, Father, if there's someone watching or someone right here on property with me in person who's in that dark place of despair, God, they are physically depleted, emotionally depleted, spiritually depleted. Father, I pray you would revive and refresh. Give them the courage to call upon you, to be filled with you and led by you, so they can be strengthened and refreshed by you. And Father, help us to lead others to that same place of prayer, that same close intimacy with you where the power is given, where the refreshing happens. Father, we pray tonight for those that are ill that could not be here. We pray, Father, you'd heal them now and restore them now for your glory. And Father, we pray that you would do something incredible as we just sit in quiet, speak to each heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you take the next few moments and just do business with God wherever you are in your walk? Holy Spirit of God, we thank you. We thank you for the promise of new grace. We thank you, God, for the promise of refreshing. We're thankful, Father, that you'll empower us to do your will, to live beyond our capacity if we'll be led and filled and surrendered to you. And as we go from this place, Father, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother